What a mighty God we serve. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, God never changes. I'm so glad that he don't change. I'm so glad that he kept me in the midst of all of my storms. Now, if you would, if you have your Bibles, if you would open them with me to the book of Acts. To the book of Acts. And I want to go to the 10th chapter in the book of Acts. And I'm going to begin with the first verse of the 10th chapter. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait a minute. Amen. From the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, I'm just going to read a few verses, verse 1 through 5, from the King James translation of the Bible, and it reads thus. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked up on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And the angel said unto him, Thy prayer and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come now with no shape, form, or fashion. We come as humble as we know how. Father God, we pray right now that you would hide me behind the cross. And I pray, Father God, that you would let the people see less of me and more of you. For this is your word, Father God. And I pray that I would deliver it the way that you gave it to me. Father God, I thank you now for what you have already done, for what you're doing, and for what you're going to do. Thank you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And just for a little while on this Sunday morning, I want to talk to you about this subject. Let your little light shine. Mm-hmm. Let your little light shine.
All right.
Now, when I look at this scripture, and I'm looking at verses 1 through 5 from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, but I want you to understand that the full story is all 47 verses in this book. And what I find so interesting about this pericope here is that the conversion of Cornelius is a fascinating story. And I say that because, yes, it begins with the first verse of Acts and continues through the 47th verse. And I say that because I believe that it's a story of a man, not unlike many people that you already know, who lived a godly life of generosity and of kindness. He believed in God. But you know what? He had no knowledge of Christ. And here today in this pericope, in this text from the book of Acts, Jesus had already ascended to heaven. For all indications, Cornelius, a Roman in charge of this band of Italian soldiers in the province of Caesarea, had never heard of Jesus. However, it says that he feared God. In fact, our text say that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house. And when I say all of his house, I'm talking about not just himself, but his wife and his kids and all of his servants. They prayed to God daily. And Cornelius made sure that he gave generously to those that was in need. And I believe if you take a look around, that's quite a testimony. And somebody would say his life seems perfect. But on this day in the life of Cornelius, something strange happened. He saw a vision. And the Bible says it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the angel of God called him by his name. The text say that Cornelius prayed and armed or gift stood as a memorial before God. In other words, the faith of Cornelius got God's attention. And so I just need to put a pin in it right there, because there's somebody here today that need to understand that you may feel like you're the only one out there, but I tell you what, you've been doing something and God got you, you got God's attention. God got a work for you to do. And what that work is, I don't know what it is. You may not understand what it is, but God knows what it is. And just like Cornelius, I don't know if you had a vision and I or not, but he had a vision, and that gave God an opportunity to do something here that would prove to be essential to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God, I tell you, has some work to do. So just for a little while, I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the predicament, and I want to talk about the issue of prejudice, and I want to talk about, finally, the fix is in. You see, I say that because Cornelius was faithful, but he and his household had never heard of Jesus. It says that he was a devout man, but he didn't know Jesus. Said that he was a generous man, but he didn't know Jesus. Said that he feared God, but he didn't know Jesus. Said he prayed every day, but he didn't know Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I would say that's quite a predicament. But you know what? That's a predicament even today. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who you know. You can be as good as you think any man or woman should be. You can give money to the homeless. You can give money to those that ask for money on the street corner, on every street corner in the world. You can give it to them. You can be known for being the nicest person on your street, in your neighborhood. You can have a forgiving spirit. You can have a generous heart. You can have a higher standard as you can get. But if you don't know Jesus, you're in a predicament. You see, the predicament was the same for Cornelius as it is for every person in here today. You see, once Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world, the only way to connect with the Father is by Christ. Jesus is the way. You read in the Bible, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by me." In order to get to God, you got to go through the Father. In order to get to Christ, you gotta be redeemed. In order to get to Christ, you gotta forget about all the things. It says, "Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Somebody in here need to know that it's time to get off of that couch and get out of that chair and go in your prayer closet and give God some praise for all the things that he's already done. He brought you from yesterday to today, and he's keeping you right now in the midst of whatever storm you may be going in. But I'm going to tell you like the old folks used to say, "Son, you may be in a storm now. But in this world, there's three things that are going on in your life. You're either coming to a storm, you're either in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm." And I tell you what, every time you come out of that storm, God got a blessing waiting for you on the other side. Right. You see, this dilemma that Cornelius was a good man, but he was dead in his sins. Why? Because he didn't know Jesus. Under God's old law, you know, Cornelius would give the gifts, and he found favor with God, even though he wasn't a Jew. But under the new covenant, God made with mankind, those gifts that he gave is no longer carries any weight of absolution of sin. You see, because Cornelius, all of those noble efforts, all of those dedicated devotion to duty, all of the sacrificial generosity that he showed, all of the unselfish commitments were given was not enough to save Cornelius from certain death. And because it won't serve Cornelius from certain death, it won't save you from certain death. Because we're all born in sin, and God said that he sent his son for a wretch like me and you. He sent somebody, he sent his son, and his son died for you and for me. And I'm so glad today that I can tell the story. This is a predicament that all of us are in today. Look around you and see what is going on. How many of you know that it's not God's plan to leave us in that predicament like we're in? But he has an army of people ready to deliver the good news, and the good news, somebody's going to deliver it somehow, some way. So that's not that you don't miss out on the opportunity to know Jesus. You see, the angel told Cornelius to send for Simon Peter back in Acts 10 and 5. And Simon Peter just happened to be in the nearby town of Joppa, not too far away. And when he sent for Peter, that's where prejudice come in. You see, the disciple Peter, that was in Joppa, is kind of like some of us, where he had just raised Tabitha from the dead. But he said that was a problem. The problem was Cornelius was a Gentile. And in this time, the Gentiles and the Jews didn't commingle, at least not until Jesus came along. Jesus' ministry was primarily to the sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there was instances that you can find out, and you can tell that there was instances where that Gentiles were blessed through Jesus' healing ministry. They were blessed. And how were they blessed? Well, in the book of Matthew, 15th chapter, it tells us that he healed a Canaanite woman's daughter. In the book of Luke, in the 17th chapter, it tells us that he healed 10 Samaritans, lepers. In the book of Matthew's 8th chapter, it tells us that he healed the servant of a Roman centurion. And in Mark 5, he healed a woman possessed with the issue, with the demon, a person with demon possessed. But despite Jesus commanding the disciples to go into all the world and preach the good news of salvation through Christ Jesus, Peter had a different mindset. What was his mindset? He was stuck in the past. Some of us here today have a different mindset, and we're stuck in the past. We don't understand why we're stuck in the past. When somebody come in that you don't like, that don't look like you, that's not dressed like you, that don't sound like you, you want to dismiss them. But I tell you what, God said, don't tell my children short, because we are made by man. We're in the image of man. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're black or white or green or yellow or orange or purple or polka dot. God said you are mine. So Cornelius knew that Peter was coming, but he knew that Peter had a different mindset. And so I believe that God sent Peter because he wanted to renovate his mind. Some of y'all know the story. It's right there in the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, verses 10 through 16, where Peter got hungry. And when he got hungry, he fell in a trance. And in that trance, there came a vision. He saw that heaven opened up, and a sheet of unclean animals were lowered before him. And I've always told Peter, kill and eat. And you know, Peter was a good Jew. And he said, no, not such a thing. I don't do that. It's forbidden for me to do that because I'm in the Mosaic law and I don't eat nothing that's uncommon. I'm none of these unclean animals. But then that sheet kept coming. And the Bible says the sheet was lowered two more times. And each time a voice said, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. In other words, let us remember not to be too hard on Peter. And why do I say don't be hard on Peter? You know how it is. We get stuck in our own traditions sometimes. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, look, we serve communion a certain way. We conduct our worship service a certain way. We even pray our corporate prayer a certain way. And if someone who would suggest that we change things up, some of us might say, no, not now, no, we ain't gonna do that. You see, we've got a few prejudices of our own. You know, a preacher once told me, preacher once warned me one time, he said, you know what, let me tell you something. The Lord, yoke never fit a stiff neck. And I thought to myself, what are you talking about? Sometime God had to shake things up to show the errors of your way. Sometime God had to put us in a situation to build us where you want us to go. Sometime God had to put us in a strange land to be appreciative of where you come from. So while Peter was pondering on the meaning of the vision, the Spirit spoke and said to him, there are three men at the door, because Cornelius sent it. He said, there was three men at the door, and I want you to go with them. And then I don't just want you to go with them, but I don't want you to say a word. I don't want you to ask any questions. I just want you to go with them. And why? Because I send them to you. I believe that sometimes we miss some great opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because of our own prejudice.
Right.
Let that settle in for a second. You see, I've been around long enough to know that sometimes we get higher than high. Sometimes we think that we're all of that in a bag of chips. Sometimes we think we got it going on. And then we run into somebody and we know that hey, talk to me. I'm a Christian and I know the Lord. He heard my cry and he pitied every groan. And as long as I live and trouble rise, I'm going to hasten to his throne. And then somebody walk up to you and start talking to you and you go, I don't want to talk to him. He's too drunk. I don't want to talk to her. She's too uppity. I don't want to talk to him. He's a Muslim. I don't want to talk to her. She's a Jew. The truth is, my brothers and my sisters, there's only two kinds of people. The saints and the ain'ts. The saints and the ain'ts. But you know, I'm so glad that Peter obeyed and went with the men to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile Roman centurion. And when he went to the house, he had paid dirt. In other words, it made a difference. He had paid dirt. Just like Peter, it's time that we have a wake-up call. Because he meets Cornelius and figure out the vision that he had. He said to Cornelius and his household, you know that it's unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into another nation. But God showed me something. He showed me that I should not call anybody any man, any woman, common or unclean. So he perceived that God is no respecter of person. And I'm so glad that he did. And why? Because while Peter was there, he hit pay dirt. Now, some of y'all may not understand what hitting pay dirt is, but pay dirt is that term used to describe a successful, fortunate solution to a problem. And Peter's vision was just that, a fortunate solution. It was fortunate for Cornelius and his household. And why do I say that? Because when Peter got done preaching, the Holy Spirit fell over everybody in the house. And because it fell over everybody in the house, they were baptized. Now, look, I don't need to tell you how important it is for the early church of Jesus Christ, but if the disciples would have kept all of these messages to themselves about this salvation and only talked to the Jews, we might not even be sitting here today. I'm thankful that God stepped in and set things straight. Because I believe that the message here is clear. The gift of forgiveness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not just for me, it's not just for you, it's for everyone. So, I believe that there you have it. You have the problem, the prejudice, and then the pay dirt. But I want you to remember something. Don't think that witnesses is to everyone is easy. In fact, when Peter returned to Jerusalem, some of those circumcised Jews gave him a hard time. They gave him a hard time, and because they gave him a hard time, they couldn't understand, why are you sitting in that place with them there folks? Why are you doing the things that you are doing? I don't understand why you're doing that. I understand that there's a problem, but they said to him things like this: why do you do it, Peter? Why do you do that? Why? I heard that you ate with them now, folks. I heard that you drank with them, folks. I heard that you preached to those folks. Do you know that you know that they are not Jews? Do you know that they are not circumcised? But I tell you what, that's not the problem. When someone who doesn't look like you or doesn't come in like you, you need to embrace them anyhow and let them feel welcome. We don't care about how they're dressed. We immediately need to show them the best side of us, that the Jesus side of us, and at least let us pray like we're going to do it, because God said, have no respect to a person. We need to encourage everybody to come into the house of the Lord. Jesus said that he can save anybody at any time if you confess with your sins, if you confess with your mouth at the Lord Jesus Christ, and God raised him from the dead, thou too shall be saved. And I'm so glad that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I'm so glad today that Peter straightened them folks out. And when he got done talking to them, they said, I understand. I understand what you did. And because I understand what you've done, glory to God. Glory to God. Because I believe that the message of salvation through Jesus Christ is not just for strangers, it's for everybody. It's not just for strangers, it's for our families. It's not just for the enemies, it's for our friends. It's not for just our children, but our children's children. That bushel that you put your light under, have no business there, because there's something fishy if you're not fishing for men. The gospel is not something you go to church to hear. It's something that you go from church to tell. Don't expect God to use you as a lighthouse somewhere if he can't use you as a candle where you are. We've got to let our little light shine. We got to let it shine. We got to let the Spirit bear witness of our spirit. We got to let the children know that God is our way maker. I believe that there isn't enough darkness in all of the world to put out a single Christian candle. And I just stopped by to tell somebody today, We've got to shine no matter where we go. We got to shine in our neighborhoods. We got to shine at the grocery store. We got to shine all over the place. I heard the songwriter says, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All in my home, I'm gonna let it shine. All in my neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. And I'm so glad that my lamp is lit. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ, at the light of the world, come through 42 generations. For a wretch like me, he didn't put my light out. He made my little light shine. And I'm so glad today that he climbed up Golgotha's hill to a hill called Calvary. They put him on a cross. He died upon that old rugged cross. Until noonday turned to midnight, he died upon that cross. But I'm glad today that I kept on reading. But he died on Calvary. I can see him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But he kept on dying for a wretch like you and me. He kept on hanging there for you and me. But after a while, he bowed his head in the locks of his shoulder. He gave up the ghost. He died. He died. And then Joseph of Arimathea come begging for the body, laid it in Joseph's new tomb. He lay there all day Friday, all night Friday night, all day Saturday, all night Saturday night. But early, 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 Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. And I'm so glad about it, because that's not the end of the story. He now went on back to heaven, and right now he's sitting on the right side of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. And I'm so glad that my little light is shining. I don't know how long it's going to shine, but when my time down here is done, I want to hear him say, well done, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up, I'll make you rule over many. Until that day, I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on talking. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on marching up the King's Highway. Let your little light shine. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer for you.